Let me ask you about those five times going into orbit. It seems to be a real treasure for you to be one of those who flown so frequently.
I was very fortunate in that my time as an astronaut were during the years where we were flying 6 or 8 missions per year. In later years, in the 2000s, we flew 2 or 3 or 4, so the opportunity to refly wasn't available to people like it was to me. We also had a smaller number of people in the astronaut office. So it wasn't that I was so good, it's that I was in the right place in the right time to sort of be recycled every 2.5 years to fly.
Let me ask you about the most difficult task you've been asked to do during one of those missions. Which would it be? You've been a mission specialist.
The last mission that I flew in 2001 was an assembly flight for the International Space Station, meaning we were carrying a module that we would have to pick up with a mechanical arm and attach to the space station, and I was the mechanical arm operator. The module was the first laboratory module, without which there would be no science on space station. It was a one-of-a-kind, $1.4 billion module that filled up the cargo bay. And my job was to pick it up. It had centimeters of clearance on either side between it and the walls of the payload bay. And my task was blind, so I had no direct vision with it. Using the 1970s cameras on board and on the shuttle's arm, I had to pick this thing up, not run into the shuttle, not run into anything else, flip it around, stick it onto the station using only views of a camera. And it was the most frightening thing I've ever done, because if I made a mistake with that, my name would go down in history as the person who broke the space station. So it was sort of nerve-wracking the whole time I was training for it. The only time, strangely, I was not nervous was the day I did it. And we practiced for failures of cameras and failures of arms and even putting it back in the cargo bay and having to throw it away in an emergency, all of which I said, I'm not going to do. I'm not throwing it away and I'm not bringing it home. We will get it attached. And it worked perfectly when it had to. So there is a picture of me that was taken from one of our crew members who was actually outside doing a spacewalk after we put this laboratory module on, looking down through the window, and I probably have the biggest smile that I've ever had in my life.
We should mention that this module has a name, Destiny, and your name went to the history of the space
in a good way.
Program in a good way. In a good way. But of course, you had, it was the last mission you've participated, but before you had an opportunity to participate in Mir program. Tell me more about it.
My fourth flight was the fifth flight where we took the shuttle to the Mir. This was a relatively new thing for Americans and Russians in their space programs to work together. It was not so much a technical challenge as it was at the time a political challenge, and in some cases a cultural challenge. But we, on those flights, those Mir flights, we brought an astronaut to the Mir and left him for 3 months or 4 months, and then we brought the other person home, and in the same time transferred a couple thousand pounds of cargo. So my job during that mission was the load master. I was the one responsible for making sure all of the cargo was packed correctly, it all got over to Mir in the right place, everything that was coming back got put in its right location, including the crew member. So we deposited a crew member on board and we brought the one home. At the time, let me preface it by saying today on the space station, the Americans who stay on space station speak Russian. The Russians speak English, so that there's very good language between them. on the Mir flights, the language between us was not so strong. The Russians did not speak English very well, and we didn't speak Russian very well. The crew member we left did. But you find that there's a lot of communication that you can do without language, with simply raising an eyebrow, leaning in, the tone of your voice, kind of thing. And our checklist was written with one line of Russian and one line of English, line for line, so we could actually work a written procedure by simply pointing to the line and then nodding or shaking and pointing. And we did fine. I mean, we communicated, had long conversations without really knowing each other's language.
But visiting Russian space station, which had its own problems at the time or later, must have been a great experience for you. Maybe I should ask you about the atmosphere just crossing the border.
At the time we were there, Mir had been in orbit for 12 years. You could say it was like men who have lived in their garage for 12 years and have never thrown anything away. So it was cluttered. You're in space. You don't want to just throw something away because you might need it. You might need a part of it. You might need something. And so they were like pack rats. They had stuff everywhere. People always assumed that the smell was very bad, and it was not very bad. It had not a body smell so much as a musty equipment smell to it. The Russian life support system recycled humidity and urine into water that they then broke down into hydrogen and oxygen, and it's one way they resupplied their oxygen. So they kept their humidity very high compared to the shuttle, which keeps its humidity very, very low. So as you cross the border, it's like walking into a warm, wet country, you know, because it was very humid and it felt wet, even though it was not. The Russian crew said, come over anytime, just float on by and come on if you want. And the one time I did that, one of the Russian crew members was having a bath out in the open, because there are no bath area. So I turned around and went back and thought, I will come over when invited, and I won't just pop over there just to see what's going on. But they wandered into the shuttle all the time because we had windows. So they could actually see the mirror from the windows in the shuttle. And we had big windows in the shuttle, so they came over all the time just to look out our windows.